Chapter 3, Philippians 1:19, you know that this will turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit. This is the supply of the Spirit, part 4. Going to start in Ephesians 3:16. Glory to God. And he would grant you, I'm actually going to read this in the Weymouth translation. I highly recommend this version of the Bible, if you can find this. I may have bought the last one in the bookstore, at least temporarily. But I'm a King James guy, and I get irritated with other translations because they take things out, change things. Like one of them removed the double portion of Elisha's anointing and things like that. This is a really good translation, the Weymouth translation, especially for word study in the epistles. I'm going to read you this out of Ephesians 3. And Kenneth Copeland actually makes this one. You can find it on his website if you can't find it anywhere else. It's just the New Testament in modern speech, and I think it's great. Ephesians 3:16. Actually, I'll start a verse or two ahead of that. For this reason, on bended knee, I beseech the Father, from whom the whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name, to grant you, in accordance with the wealth of his glorious perfections, to be strengthened by his Spirit with power permeating your inmost being. I pray that Christ may make his home in your hearts through your faith, so that having your roots deep and your foundations strong in love, you may become mighty to grasp the idea, as it is grasped by all the saints, of the breadth and length and height and depth, yes, to know the love of Christ, that surpasses knowledge, so that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is, I just switched over to King James, I know that. So, now to him who, in the exercise of his power that is at work within us, that's awesome how it's stated right there in this. Now to him who, in the exercise of his power that is at work within us. I'm going to read you that again. In the exercise of his power that is at work within us. Jesus exercises his power that is at work on the inside of you. Now to him who, in the exercise of his power that is at work within us, is able to do infinitely beyond all our highest prayers or thoughts, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, world without end. And it even puts an exclamation mark there. Amen. How many of you do voice to text? World without end, exclamation mark. I'll tell Riley on text. Riley, I'll be there in a few minutes, or I'm driving down to see you, smiley face. We put an exclamation mark here. World without end, amen. Just to put the excitement in there, praise God. Paul just got so excited with the revelation that was coming out, he just couldn't stand it and started just breaking out into praise. Man, that's what revelation of the word will do for you. I just love what Kenneth Hagin used to say, that you shouldn't teach something that you can't preach, and you shouldn't preach something that you can't teach. What he means by that is you shouldn't teach something that doesn't get you so excited that you just don't have the ability just to jump over into praise and start preaching and getting excited about what God did. Because if the revelation of the word is real to you, you're going to start praising God. There's going to be a shout come out at some point. Amen. And you shouldn't preach something you can't teach, because if you can't teach it and break down the word enough, why are you preaching it? Because you really don't know what you're talking about. Amen. But I think that's a good way to say it. All right, the supply of the Spirit, part 4. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, starting in verse 7, picking up in verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. The first thing I want to tell you tonight is the strength of your faith can't exceed the revelation of God's love. The strength of your faith can't exceed your revelation of God's love. Faith works by love. Now, I've said before about in Galatians 2 how it says that we have that our faith accesses the faith of Christ. Well, the faith of Christ is what Jesus did on the cross. Let me turn over to 1 John here and read you something about the love of God. We need to understand what the love of God is. 1 John chapter 4, turn over there with me if you can. This is not in my notes, but I'm gonna give this to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Verse 10, herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. So what John is saying here is that the manifestation of the love of God is God sending his son Jesus to die on the cross and to raise from the dead. And when we study this out, when I've preached on grace, about how our faith taps us into the grace of God, which is everything that God did for us on the cross, our faith actually links up with what Jesus' faith already accomplished on the cross. Hallelujah. So here, this is also a demonstration or a description of God's faith. What Jesus' faith accomplished was through the love of God. In verse 9, in this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. So that is the manifestation of the love of God. Jesus being sent to die on the cross and raised from the dead is the ultimate, absolute manifestation of the love of God towards you. There is nothing that God the Father left out when he sacrificed Jesus on the cross. I can't even imagine the grief that God the Father had to go through to see his son beaten and to have every sickness and every disease put on Jesus, and every grief and every torment, every financial problem that there ever was and ever is going to be put on Jesus. That was the ultimate demonstration of the love of God, is that he sent his son to die on the cross and to be a propitiation for our sins. So there is no other demonstration that needs to be made. Now, I'm not talking about there's no other manifestation of the love of God, because God is manifesting his love and revealing his love to you and me every day more and more. But as far as the demonstration, the love of God is completely demonstrated by what Jesus did on the cross. It's important that you understand that, because that means that you're not waiting for God to demonstrate or to do something else. It's not like there's ever going to be a need that comes up in your life that you're going to think that's going to be new to God, that he's going to all of a sudden have to demonstrate more love up in heaven. You're never bombarding the gates of heaven. You're never praying for God to do something for you that he hasn't already taken care of at the cross. There is no way you can ever come up with a need that he didn't already meet at the cross. It's impossible. There is no way you're ever going to pray to God for him to do something, and then he's up there in heaven on the throne and think, oh my goodness, I forgot about that Robert and Pam were going to need. I could have sworn I took care of that on the cross, but I forgot. So now I got to go do something. I got to go manifest. I got to go have another breakthrough of the love. I've got to go generate a prayer and answer to prayer that wasn't there before. That is never the case. The love of God was absolutely thorough in what God the Father did on the cross. And it is so important that we understand that, because he manifested all of it. He manifested every bit of healing that you need. He manifested every answer to prayer that you need. He manifested every answer to finances, every answer to family that you have need of. It was already done on the cross. There was nothing that he left out. That was the ultimate demonstration of the love of God. And in any way we think that the love of God wasn't fully demonstrated, manifested on the cross, we get into doubt, fear, and unbelief, and our faith does not work. Like somebody I heard saying the other day on Facebook, talking about how they've just come to the place where they're just starting to believe that after we die that there's going to be another opportunity for people to get saved, because it's just not fair for people to have to go to hell if they haven't received Jesus here on earth. And what that is actually saying is that what Jesus did on the cross and the demonstration of his love was not complete enough, and that God has to do something else to manifest and demonstrate his love to mankind. You know what that is? It's unbelief and doubt in what Jesus already did on the cross. But in the same way, any way we get into fear, any way we get into doubt and concern and worry about what we're believing God for now, is a lack of receiving and revelation of the love of God, of what he did on the cross. You see, people want to think it's just not fair for God to send people to hell. It's not fair, and he is not sending people to hell. People send themselves to hell by the decision that they make. Well, it's not fair that it be such a drastic choice. We should have opportunity after we step over into the afterlife to make a decision and see everything in truth and reality. Jesus has already done everything. There's nothing that he left out. There's no measure of the love of God that has to be considered. The only reason people think stuff like that is because they doubt the love of God and doubt what Jesus did on the cross, and they need a revelation of what the love of God that was already demonstrated on the cross. The only reason we would ever doubt and get into fear about God doing something in our life is the same exact reason. So it's easy to shout and say, hallelujah, that guy's wrong, but what about hallelujah, I'm wrong? Well, how can anybody think that Jesus, we should have another chance to get saved after we died? Well, that's crazy, but actually, what about you? What about me? Any way that we get into doubt, fear, and unbelief, it's because there's a measure of the love of God and what Jesus did on the cross that we are doubting and we are not receiving. You see that tonight? That's why faith works by love. If the devil can get you to think that your faith is actually accomplishing the work that Jesus did on the cross, like what you need, the finances that you need, or the healing that you need, if you think that your faith is going to accomplish healing, then you're not receiving the love of God in the area of your physical healing. Because Jesus already accomplished that healing on the cross. His death, burial, and resurrection was so thorough. There's nothing left out to accomplish, nothing left out to do. There's only everything there for us to receive by revelation of the love of God. So our faith, our exploits, the works that our faith do, and everything that we do for God cannot exceed the revelation of the love of God that we have. The strength of our faith can't exceed our revelation of God's love. Hallelujah. That's good teaching right there. The strength of our faith can't exceed the revelation of God's love. And that's why the Holy Spirit and the supply of the Spirit is so important, because Romans 5:5 says that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And here in Ephesians, we just read that the same thing, that the Spirit of God begins to reveal to us the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God, so that we can step into the fullness of God. So the greater revelation we get of the love of God, the greater our faith grows. I want to tell you right now, whatever you're believing God for, the most important thing to do is get in the Word and get revelation of the love of God concerning that issue. Hallelujah. That's the most important thing that you can do, because otherwise it becomes a thing and an issue of works in your life. Otherwise, what you're believing God for becomes an issue of how good and how righteous are the works of your own faith. At some point, that's what it's going to come down to, because your faith is going to be trying to accomplish what Jesus already did on the cross. And I want to tell you right now, your faith in that arena and my faith in that arena trying to step into Jesus' arena is just righteousness of filthy rags. It ain't going to accomplish anything. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because where was our faith when Jesus died on the cross anyway? We weren't even there. I mean, by the grace of God, we were there, but we were not there in the flesh to actually exercise our faith, and the people that were there weren't exercising their faith either. So we've got to trust in the love of God. The strength of your faith can't exceed your revelation of God's love. That's number one. Number two, you're rooted and grounded in love in order to grow your faith without limitation. Hallelujah. Verse 17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. But in verse 17, it puts the faith and the love right there together, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love. I want to give you this illustration here about the sower sows the seed, as Jesus taught the parable in Mark chapter 4. And he said this is the most important parable about the sower sows the seed. The sower sows the word, which is the word. And Jesus said, if you don't understand this parable, how will you understand any other parable? So if you examine this, being rooted and grounded in love, when you sow a seed into the ground is your heart. So if you are rooted and grounded in love, what that is the seed of the Word of God gets planted into your heart. You know, and I know, that a seed is never going to be able to grow to any greater degree of health than the soil that it's planted in. I mean, we have a red oak tree out in our front yard, and it's always dropping acorns. And sometimes they'll grow up to 2 or 3 inches tall, and I'll go and pull them because it's an oak tree. I mean, you pull it, and the whole acorn comes up like that. And Riley thought they were cute, so I had three of them. So we put three little red oak tree acorns with these little 3-inch trees that were starting to grow. The trunk of the tree was about an eighth of an inch, maybe a quarter of an inch wide, and We put them in these little jars right on our kitchen bar there with a little bit of sunlight. And over a period of time, they died because the jars were just this big. There wasn't enough soil. You can't, and we knew that. It's not like we were like, we're going to grow an oak tree in our kitchen. I mean, but the point is the soil there was only going to let that seed grow to a certain degree. That seed never had a chance to grow any bigger. It's the exact same principle with the seed of the Word of God and faith in your heart. Is the seed of the Word on the inside of your heart. It cannot exceed, it cannot grow any more than the quality of the ground of your heart. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You better get a hold of this or I'm going to start shouting and preaching and go 2 hours. The seed that is planted on the inside of your heart cannot exceed, it cannot outgrow the quality of the ground of your heart. So if you're watching R-rated movies and cuss words are coming out of your mouth all the time, you can get the seed of the Word of God in your heart all day long, but it's not going to grow, honey. On the contrary, if you're listening to the Word all the time, and you're speaking the Word all the time, the seed of that Word is going to grow and grow and become into full fruition, hallelujah, because the heart is prepared. But what Paul is telling us here by the Holy Ghost is the ultimate secret, the ultimate insight to get the seed of the Word in your heart to grow without limitation. Well, praise God for Lene. I got an amen right there. Lene is the only one who gets faith that grows without limitation tonight. Everybody else missed it. All right, I'm done preaching. Come back next week. I'm going to give everybody else a chance to say amen. Thanks, Robert. I'm just kidding. Paul is telling us here by the Holy Ghost, really the Holy Ghost is telling us that the Spirit, the supply of the Spirit, when it gets poured into our lives, and it's even reiterated in Romans 5:5 when it says that this love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, that what that does is the ground of your heart is getting ultimately and perfectly prepared by the love of God getting poured in. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. When you, as the Spirit of God is breathed into your heart, as He is shed abroad in your heart, as you let the Spirit of God work in your life, and sometimes a part of that is there's a rock in your heart of offense, you got to repent. God deals with you about being offended at somebody in a service, you know, and you got to repent. So you get that rock out of your heart. Well, now what has happened is the seed of the Word of God, the good thing that God is doing in your life, is able to grow better roots on the inside of you, which means better fruit is going to grow on the outside of you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So this is how we get rooted and grounded in love, is when the Holy Spirit breathes on the inside of us through a powerful service, through your prayer time, by you getting the supply of the Spirit. Hallelujah. I don't know about you, but there have been many times when I've been believing God for something big, and you may wake up in the morning. You know, how many of you just wake up in the morning in the flesh? I think we all do. I mean, just be real tonight. I know you're not. I'm knocking your halo off, but I mean, how many of you just wake up with angels singing, and you're singing in the Spirit when you come out of sleep? I mean, we all wake up in the flesh. So consequently, that's one of the devil's best times, just to try to show up and attack us. And you're in the flesh. But you know, you wake up, if you're believing God for something big, or the devil's attacking something big, and you're standing in faith to see breakthrough and miracle and deliverance, you wake up in the morning, you went to bed in victory, you wake up in the morning, and there's a cloud of oppression and heaviness right there. What you need to do is tap into the supply of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And go and take some time and begin to pray. Pray 20 minutes, 30 minutes in tongues. Turn on some worship music and let the Spirit of God pour the love of God and supply the Spirit into your heart again. So the ground of your heart begins to grow that seed of the Word, because the devil wants to choke out the Word with doubt, fear, and unbelief. But the love of God being poured into your heart by the Holy Ghost is going to make that seed of the Word grow without limitation in your life. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the key right now, it is so important to what you're believing God for. You may be thinking, well, David, that's really cool that you know this principle, you're teaching this principle about the root and the love and the Word and the seed and all this stuff, but I need a breakthrough. or we're going to lose our house, or I need a breakthrough. The doctor's got a bad report for me. I'm telling you right now that God has given you the principles to have power that works on the inside of you. That's how Jesus wants to work the miracle or the blessing that you need, is by the power at work on the inside of you. And this is how that power begins to work. And I'm telling you right now, when you get the love of God shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Ghost, the supply of the Spirit, when you get this revelation, you can sit down and say, Spirit of God, just supply me right now. Shed the love of God abroad in my heart right now, and pray in tongues, and let the Holy Ghost put that work on the inside of you. And what's going to happen is fear is going to just get flushed right out of your life, because perfect love casts out fear. Hallelujah. You have no business going through the day with fear and oppression hanging over your head. You have no business letting that take place. What's happening? That's the attack of the devil trying to drown out the love of God from your heart and get you into fear. We have no business being in fear and dread of anything, because Jesus, in the ultimate demonstration of the love of God, took care of everything on the cross. And in any way that we get into fear and doubt and unbelief, it's because we believe there's something on the cross that wasn't taken care of for us. But that's a lie of the devil, and we all know it. But we start believing and getting emotional and get in that place where we're in fear and doubt and unbelief, and we really think and believe that God's not going to come through for us, because we have gotten we can get away just like that. It can happen. The devil will attack you. And all from 5 minutes to the next 5 minutes, all of a sudden there's doubt, fear, and unbelief taking place in your life. Well, I'm telling you right now, don't receive it. Get back to the supply of the Spirit right then. Just say, I rebuke that in Jesus' name, and begin to pray in tongues. And by faith, just let this principle take place. Lord, I receive the love of God right now being shed abroad in my heart by the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost, touch me, fill me, work inside of me. And I'm telling you that the faith of God starts to grow and rise on the inside of you, and fear just gets flushed right on out. You know, I like how that says that perfect love casts out fear. It just gets rid of it. Praise God. It has no option to stay. You're rooted and grounded in love in order to grow your faith without limitation. As you get the love of God in your heart, you can grow your faith without limitation. And so what you see here is, like, if this podium represents level ground, and you get the seed of the Word of God down into the ground of your heart, when your roots are beginning to grow, your roots are getting strong, and the love of God is getting poured inside of your heart, and that the seed and the roots are growing without limitation, consequently, what happens above ground? The tree grows up, the fruit grows, and nothing can stop it. You want to see one thing in a hurricane that'll outlast buildings, cars, and everything? It's the trees that God made. I think that's pretty awesome. It'll outlast any and every storm. The fruit cannot be stopped from growing in your life. You don't have to have hands laid on you for everything. Now, laying on of hands is important, and I do it as much and more than anybody, but you won't have to have hands laid on you for everything, because the fruit will just be abounding in your life, because it's growing out of your own spirit and out of your own heart. Hallelujah. This is how God made it. You think, David, that's too simple. Where's the miraculous and the supernatural in that? That's how simple it is. The very fact that we think we got to complicate it, and the miraculous, oh my goodness, we think the miraculous is an issue of something just totally indescribable that makes no sense, that's ludicrous, and oh, then that's a miracle. No, it's just as simple as this right here. You get the Word of God in your heart, you get the love of God shed abroad in your heart, and you believe God, and I'm telling you, the supernatural begins to take place. Hallelujah. Because what is in your heart and in your spirit, the Word that is in your heart and in your spirit, and the Holy Ghost pouring the love of God in your heart and in your spirit, as that begins to grow, when it grows outwardly, that outwardly is in the realm of the natural. That is the supernatural right there, is that it comes out of your heart and out of your spirit, and it manifests in the realm of the natural. And I'm telling you, fruit is coming your way. This is how you can get to the place where you live and you walk in the blessing, and you're not crying out to God and suffering and praying to go from miracle to miracle, but you live in the realm of the blessing, praise God. I mean, I think that sounds good to me. I want to walk in the realm of the blessing manifest all the time and not have to be crying and whimpering for the next miracle to come along, because we're stuck in the mud until it does. Thank God for miracles. Praise God for that. I'm not downing miracles, but there's a higher level for us to walk at where we get a hold of these principles that Jesus has put here in the Word. Hallelujah. That Christ may dwell in your heart by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. Hallelujah. And I got a combination of some scripture here I'm going to give you. Romans 5:5, which says the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And let's just turn to Romans 5:5. I've quoted that enough. I want you to see it. Thank you, Jesus. Give me a few more minutes here and we will be wrapped up. And the hope makes not ashamed. That's important right there. The hope makes not ashamed, because why? The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Now combine that with Hebrews 11:1. And now you know that one. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. So if hope makes not ashamed, I'm going to combine these two verses and tell you this right here. Faith is the substance of hope that doesn't disappoint, because the Holy Ghost has poured the love of God in our hearts. You want to have faith that never fails? This is how you do it right here. Faith is the substance that never disappoints, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. You want your faith to never fail? Get anchored in the love of God. Just say that after me. Say, my faith will never fail because I am anchored in the love of God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Rooted and grounded in the love is the Word being in our hearts. Hallelujah. Knowing the love is above, the love is above ground growth as a result of the below ground growth. I'm going to explain that to you right now. Let me read here in verse. Oh, I'm in Romans 5. I slipped over. Let me get back to Ephesians. Ephesians 3:17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love. I want you to point this out. I want to point this out to you right here in verse 17. He says, being rooted and grounded in love. But then he keeps talking about the love of God, that you may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ. So if you're already rooted and grounded in love, why do you need to know the love of Christ? It's like a redundancy. If you don't really look into it, it's like, Lord, you just said that I'm rooted and grounded in love, so why do I need to know the breadth and length and depth and height and to know the love of Christ? Well, let me tell you why that is because being rooted and grounded in love is the soil of your heart having the love of God put in there. And so the seed of the Word and your faith gets strong. But what happens next is your faith begins to grow. It grows roots downwards, and it grows a tree up and it grows fruit upwards. And what that is that as the tree grows, as the fruit grows, God gives you revelation of the breadth and the length and the depth and the height of the love of God, which is that fruit-growing tree in your life. So you've got the seed of the Word of God producing roots down here, and you're rooted and grounded in love. So there's no fear and no concern and no worry, because Jesus has taken care of it on the cross. And as you do that, your tree begins to grow. And the love of God begins to get revealed to you, and you begin to realize, hey, I am healed. Hey, I am prospered and blessed. And the love of God is the breadth and the length and the depth and height of the goodness of God. And what that is that tree is beginning to grow and to flourish, and it's beginning to produce fruit, praise God. So as you're rooted and grounded in the love of God down in your heart, it's also producing fruit in the realm of the natural. Hallelujah. And so you hear about the love of God. God gives you revelation of the love, and instantly your faith grows to that point. You hear that God loves you, that He's providing finances or providing a miracle or providing healing for you or bringing increase to your life in some degree. And what happens is your faith instantly grows to that level, and manifestation begins to grow to that level. Hallelujah. Because you know what the breadth and length and depth and height of the love of God is. Hallelujah. Somebody praise God for that right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. The love of God is poured in your heart, and that begins to saturate the seed of the Word, and your faith becomes unstoppable, and as a result, the fruit that you desire begins to grow out of your heart. That's why it says, according to the power that works on the inside of you. As I said a few weeks ago, we've got to stop praying these crybaby prayers and say, Lord God, would you please come and heal me? Would you please come and prosper me? Would you please? Don't you see how bad things are? You can see in that prayer that there is zero amount of faith in the love of God. Because what you're saying is, Lord, what you did at the cross isn't enough, so come and do something now. Don't you see how bad things are? As if he didn't come and die because he saw how bad things were going to be in the attack 2,000 years ago when he died on the cross. And he saw it before he created you. He saw the financial issues. He saw the physical issue before he even created you. So we've got to stop praying that kind of prayer that's just begging and pleading, God, would you please come and do this? Would you please come and do that? And trust that God, what he did on the cross is enough for you, and let the love of God drive your faith. Let the love of God drive your faith, and don't let fear drive your faith. Don't let lack drive your faith. Don't let sickness drive your faith. Let the love of God drive your faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. And you're going to see everything take place. Hallelujah. I feel like I've just barely bit the tip off of this message tonight, and we're already at 30 minutes into it. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to bring some coffee in, and I'm going to drug everybody with some caffeine. We're going to go another hour right now. Hallelujah. Let me just read you a few things here in closing. The knowledge of agape love brings us to a point of manifesting everything that God has. When it says here at the end of Ephesians chapter 3, to know the love of Christ which passes knowledge, you get into a place where you can manifest everything that God has, the more revelation of the love of God that you get. You can get to the place where you can manifest everything that God has by more of the revelation of the love of God that you get. Hallelujah. Your faith will begin to work just right off of the love of God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You realize that the answer is this is a good one. I'm going to finish with this. You realize that the answer is a gift of agape love more than the reward of your faith. Well, that's a good one right there. You realize that the answer that you need and that you're getting is more of a gift of agape love to you than it is a reward of your faith. Now, that's not discounting your faith, because that's all I've been preaching tonight is faith. But the priority is it's a gift of God's agape love to you. I want you to know tonight that everything that you need and everything that you desire, God has given you as a gift in his agape love. Every breakthrough that you may be believing God for some big things for the kingdom of God. You may be believing God right now for $30 to pay your water bill. Whatever it is, God has given you that as a gift wrapped up in his agape love for you. Hallelujah. It's given to you. I'm telling you some good news right now that it is given to you. And your faith receives that as you get rooted and grounded in the love of God and understand that what you need and what you desire is already given to you in the love of your Father God. Then your faith just begins to work easy and naturally. The growth of your faith is not a struggle. It's not an impossibility. It's not a drudgery anymore. It just grows easy and naturally. Because any parents here that have some kids and you love your kids, you know, if you tell your kids we're going to Six Flags this weekend, their faith in going to Six Flags works easy and naturally. They're excited about it. They're happy. They're going to tell all their friends. They're going to invite their friends. On the contrary, if there was a parent, and not here tonight, but if you can imagine a parent that was dishonest with their kids and said, we're going to Six Flags this weekend, but they had told them that 10 times before, the kids aren't going to believe the parent or get excited. But the one who has good, loving parents, you see, the faith of the kid is based on the love of the parents. Your faith is based on the love of your Father God. Hallelujah. So let the Holy Ghost and the supply of the Spirit pour the love of God and the revelation of his love on the inside of you, and your faith is going to begin to take place easy and naturally. Hallelujah. Can you say amen tonight? Amen. Amen. Why don't you stand up on your feet? Thank you so much for coming tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Had a few weeks of just teaching the word. It's good stuff. Thank you, Spirit of God, for everybody that's here. I bless you. I thank you, Lord, for doing a work in them. Spirit of God, to supply them with the fresh revelation, fresh inpouring of the love of the Father God as they go throughout the rest of this week. I break fear off of you, torment. Any fear and torment, I break that off of you in Jesus' name. I declare the gift of agape love has supplied all your needs and wants and desires. And everything that you have is met in God, and you need is met in God in the name of Jesus.